Political handicappers are all but unanimous that Democrat Lyda Crewson will be elected mayor of St. Louis in the April election. They cite the historical dominance of the Democratic Party in city politics. If elected, she would be the city's first woman mayor, but it's another crowded race. She faces Republican Andrew Jones, Libertarian Rob Cunningham, Green Party candidate Jonathan McFarland, Independents Larry Rice and Tyrone Austin, none of whom is given much of a chance of victory. Does that mean that Lyda Crewson is cruising? She joins me in studio. Lyda, are you on cruise control at this point?
Definitely not, but thank you for having me here, Don. I really appreciate that. You know, my campaign, we're out knocking on doors and doing mail and really trying to get the vote out for on April the 4th. I don't take this as a slam dunk at all, and I think there are some very credible and possible candidates there on the ballot, so we're very serious about it.
Well, they're predicting a smaller turnout for the general even than the primary. From what I understand, the turnout in the primary wasn't very good.
No, the turnout in the primary wasn't that good. I think 53,000 and some voters voted. And if history is a predictor, the turnout will be less in April, which I think is really, really unfortunate. You know, as candidates, we work hard to get people to go and vote. We want people to vote. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that history won't repeat itself and maybe more people will come out and vote this time. There are a lot of issues on the ballot this time. There are six different ballot initiatives that are on the ballot. So perhaps that'll drive some people to come out and vote.
What is your position on some of these propositions? I'm thinking of the issues of the soccer stadium and also about Metrolink expansion. Are you mm-hmm. in favor of these? These are the two biggies, I think.
Well, they are. I think they are the two biggies. One is a half-cent sales tax, 60% of which would be used to build a fund for the local match portion of a Metrolink expansion. I am certainly in favor of expanding Metrolink. I do worry that this won't be enough money to really deliver on that promise. And so I would say, though, that we need to start. It's a little bit like building a savings account for some bigger purchase that you want. And so I am in favor of the half-cent sales tax that's on the ballot because I think we do need to expand Metrolink. The other proposition which you asked me about has to do with MLS soccer. Mm-hmm. And I love soccer. I think most St. Louisans love soccer, and I hope that we are able to get a soccer team here. I think soccer is it's a sport that is on the rise, and it also is something aspirational for St. Louis to have a new soccer team. On the other hand, I would really prefer that the city of St. Louis did not own the stadium. I'm certainly willing to help with that effort, but I'd like to see the stadium be privately owned.
All right. A lot of people think that you have some work to do, Lyda, with regard to your constituents. And I'm thinking of African-Americans, St. Louis, and also Democrats. Well, you had 32% of the vote, I think it was, mm-hmm. in the election. A lot of Democrats did not vote for you. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to win the election because everybody says you are, but if you win, and when you win, you're going to have to deal with these two groups. What are you doing to win them back, if I can put it that way?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, you're correct. I got 32% of the vote. Yeah. That was 32% of the vote in a field of seven mm-hmm. candidates. So I think it was pretty unlikely that any candidate would have, in a field of seven, that you would get over 50% of the vote. So I'm not unhappy with receiving 32% of the vote. Mm-hmm. But I certainly do recognize that, you know, I need to reach out to folks, and I've already done that. We did a unity breakfast, if you will. I said kind of jokingly last Saturday, I said, we're trying to bring everyone together with bacon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had turkey bacon and regular bacon. So it was a matter of inviting people. We had maybe around 70 or so people there.
But none of the rivals, none of your rivals in the primary.
None of the rivals in the primary were there. You're correct about that. I did text or talk to all of them. Some of them were out of town. You know, campaigns are tough. They really are. Everybody worked hard. and everybody was out there night after night, day after day campaigning. So sometimes these things just take a little bit of time. As I say, you know, campaigns cause a lot of skin knees and scabby elbows, and those things have to heal a little bit before folks come together. But, you know, I just met with Lewis Reed, President Reed, yesterday, as a matter of fact. I have spoken with Antonio French via text message, if that's what we call speaking these days. you know, and other candidates, texted or spoken with all of the candidates, and we'll come together. We all want what is best for the city of St. Louis. I have no doubt about that. And you know, it's kind of interesting. We did some close to 25 forums or debates. And so we got to know one another and our ideas pretty well. And there were some good ideas there on the table, and we'll work together to bring those to fruition. You know, my style has always been to reach out to people. I've done that in the 28th Ward over the years. For the last 19 years, I've been honored to represent the 28th Ward. So reaching out to people and building relationships, I mean, I think that's the way you get things done, and I'll continue to do that.
Have you talked with Tashara at all? Tashara Jones?
I have texted with Tashara. Uh-huh. I hesitate to say talk because, you know, does that count?
It's communicated with,
We have texted, yes, yeah. We have.
And what sort of conversations are you having with her? I mean, she's an important part of your future, I think, in many ways.
Well, I think she's an important part of St. Louis's future.
Sure.
And, you know, she ran a very hard-fought campaign. And so what we've said to one another is we'll get together soon.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, we'll wait for
hopefully
that.
Hopefully that, yes.
Wait for that to happen.
Yeah.
I just want to pin something down. We were talking before about Major League Soccer here in St. Louis. Are you going to vote for Proposition 2 or not?
You know, I think I will vote for Proposition 2, but I really hope to get into conversations with the leaders of MLS Soccer, the team here, to see if we can figure out a little different structure.
Public safety is a big part of what you've been talking about throughout the campaign. What can you hope to do as mayor of the city to make it a safer place?
Well, I think, you know, during the campaign, I talked about this a lot, and I'm going to continue to talk about this and make it, you know, part of my initial initiatives. Sort of a double negative there. But and one is there's the prevention and the deterrence side. I mean, that's what we all really want. We want to prevent crime. We want to deter crime. And I think, you know, that really means more money for recreation programs, a more robust recreation program, more money for after-school jobs and summer jobs for young people. It means alternative dispute resolution. It means alternative sentencing. You know, let's not take a young person that screws up, makes a mistake, and then send him to jail to make him a better criminal, him or her a better criminal, if we can avoid that. So all of those kinds of things are so important. I just was listening to your last guest for a little bit talking about the money that we need to spend in education. And, you know, that, of course, is in this country what we need to do. It's, all the prevention programs are so important. And then on the other side of that, of course, we do need law enforcement. And you probably know the city of St. Louis is 100-plus officers short right now from our budgeted strength. And so we've got to figure out a way to hire additional officers, to train additional officers, train them better in more modern ways, I'll call it, meaning you know, less use of force, non-lethal weapons, alternative methods of policing, and maybe it's a more gentle policing, is, I think, very important. We have a very frayed, I'll call it, relationship between many parts of our community and law enforcement, and that's to everyone's detriment, both the community's detriment and law enforcement. And so, you know, we have to take steps to mend that relationship.
Are you, in speaking this way, in any sense suggesting that people who preceded you or who would precede you in office, in the mayor's office or in the police department, have been ineffective and not done their jobs?
You know, I'm not going to point fingers there, but, you know, I do think that we have to say, you know, last year we had 188 murders in 2016 in the city, same number in 2015. Mm-hmm. That's not an acceptable number. We also had, you know, we have a lot of gun violence in our city. And so I guess what I'll say is I think we can do better. And one of the ways that we do have to do better is through hiring enough police officers, figuring out what it takes. You know, our police officers in the city of St. Louis are not paid competitively with St. Louis County, as you probably know.
Oh, yeah.
On day one, when you get out of the academy in St. Louis, you're paid $5,000 less than on day one when you get out of the academy in St. Louis County. Well, you know, $5,000 is real money. It's usually a young person. That's a car payment or a student loan payment or a different apartment. And so we're going to have to figure that out. I don't expect that that will be easy. And I think, frankly, the gap is getting wider because St. Louis County has a proposition on the ballot in April, which would be a half-cent sales tax to raise additional funds to pay officers more and hire more officers. So, you know, all of that, those are challenges that we have. But certainly, I think, you know, we've got to tackle those challenges.
Well, all of the things you've mentioned that need improvement and need expansion and what have you require money.
They do.
You know, the half-cent sales tax, I assume, is not going to do it all. Is there a pot of gold out there that we don't know about?
There's not a pot of gold that we don't know about. But I think, you know, the first step to solving a problem is figuring out, one, this is a problem. Two, we need to find the money to spend more. Find the funds to spend more money on this. And I think that most St. Louisans would agree that, you know, we need to take additional steps to reduce crime in our city. And frankly, in our region, but I'm only going to talk about the city here today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something we have to do. You know, what does our city look like in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years if we don't do this? I think that's a question we all ought to be asking ourselves.
Just to change the topics here, because our time is somewhat limited. One of the criticisms you hear from time to time about Lyda Crewson is that during her time on the Board of Aldermen, she has really been more interested in development, if you will, and it's understandable, you're representing a particular area, but development in the Central Corridor, Central West End, to the detriment, if you will, of North St. Louis, some parts of South St. Louis.
Yeah, I've heard that sentiment expressed, but I'll be honest with you. Your job as an alderman is to represent the area and the folks that elected you. 15 years ago, it's easy to say now, well, that looked easy. 15 years ago, 17 years ago, there was no pageant. There was no Moonrise Hotel. There was no pinup bowl.
They're in University City.
No, they're not in University City. They're in the 28th Ward in the city of St. Louis. Every one of those projects that I just mentioned, they're all in the city of St. Louis. And none of that existed 15 or 17 years ago. 15 or 17 years ago, the Chase Park Plaza was closed. The curtains were flapping out the windows when you drove by on Kings Highway. It was closed for 9 years. And from I think it was about from 89 to 98, or I may have those years not quite right. But, you know, when that occurred, there were no viable businesses on Maryland. You know, the heart of the Central West End that we think about there at Maryland and Euclid, if you between there and the Chase Park Plaza, there was no Scape. There was no Lululemon. There was no New Fountain. Those homes that are on the north side, those were all vacant at that time. And so there's been a lot of work done in the 28th Ward, which is the area that, you know, I was elected to represent. And so, you know, a lot of that is done now. There's still more to do, of course, along Del Mar in particular. Olive, there was no Bowood Farms 15 years ago. There was, you know, Field School was sitting empty. There were no viable businesses along Olive. So, yes, we absolutely worked on redeveloping those areas, and I think that's to the plus for all of St. Louis.
What sort of ideas would you have then for expanding this ability to do what has been done in the 28th Ward to the less advantaged neighborhoods in St. Louis?
I think there are so many opportunities, quite frankly. You know, during the campaign, of course, I was all over this city. I don't know if I've been on every block of the city, but I've been on darn near every block of the city. And there are a lot of good neighborhoods and there are a lot of good opportunities. And we have to bring developers to those areas. I mean, when you look north of Del Mar, you look at the Academy neighborhood, you look at the Fountain Park neighborhood, you look at North Sarah, and there has been a lot done. North Sarah is really a wonderful area now, and that's certainly most people would say North St. Louis. And we've got to build off of those strengths and bring development to all areas of the city of St. Louis. We've got to work on vacant properties. We've got to get vacant buildings in particular in the hands of folks that, you know, can redevelop the building, get get someone living in it again, maybe themselves. That would be great. We've got a big inventory of vacant buildings that we really have to tackle because there is just nothing good that happens in a vacant building, and that has to be a priority for us.
What about the issue of inclusionary zoning and, you know, requiring that when new developments are developed and sure. go online, that they are inclusive of all groups?
I think that inclusionary zoning, I don't know if it's actually zoning, but when we give incentives, first of all, there should be much more in incentives in the more disadvantaged areas of our city than there are in the areas that are doing pretty well. I mean, that's sort of on day one, we should do that. And whether most projects, many projects should include community benefit agreements. We just saw yesterday, I think this is the first one in the city, and I actually had nothing to do with it, but you saw where the soccer folks came out with a community benefit agreement to support youth soccer development and also to make sure that tickets are available for folks. I mean, that's a starting point, and I think we need to do more of that because we do need to include everybody. But there are certainly areas of our city, and frankly, they're both north and south. Mm-hmm. There are certainly some areas south that need a lot of attention. If you look at Dutchtown and Gravois Park, and you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening there, but they could really benefit by a plan. They could benefit by more intense community services or city services, I should say, and more help in terms of bringing their areas back.
There's a pretty good-sized project about to get underway in the ward adjacent to yours, and that is the 100 North Kings Highway, this 36-story building that is ultra-modern and a very expensive project, and it's going to be very expensive to live there. Should inclusionary housing be made available in a building like that?
Maybe. I think, you know, I'm not extremely familiar with
the
project.
That's Joe
Rudy's ward. It is in the 17th ward. I mean, yes. I've seen the pictures and read the articles about it. You know, maybe. I think most importantly should be that there is, whether it's in a particular building or whether it is in the immediate area, it is a very important factor. That lot that building is proposed on has been sitting vacant for, gee, I don't know. I can remember 30 years, and maybe it's been 50. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's actually been a vacant lot, and there's a vacant lot adjacent to it as well. So it's not displacing anyone to do that. But we have to keep everybody in mind. I just came on my way over here today. I was at the Affordable Housing Commission meeting, and I had to leave before it was over to get here on time. But you know, there certainly is a place for that, and we need to do more with those dollars.
I have a question here from Jason Rosenbaum of our staff. I wanted to be sure that I would ask you this. He says that you've told St. Louis Public Radio in the past how important charter schools are for St. Louis families. Mm-hmm. Yet many of your Democratic counterparts in the legislature have slammed charter schools as failed profit-making entities for business. For businesses? Is there crosswire messaging here? Will it hinder efforts to make charter schools in St. Louis better?
Well, thank you, Jason, for that question. I don't know about crosswire messaging. I can only speak for myself, and that is that, you know, there are 10 or 11,000 kids in the city of St. Louis being educated in charter schools. Mm-hmm. Charter schools are like any other group of schools. Some of them are better than others. And just like St. Louis Public Schools has some of the best schools in our state, Metro High School, I think, was voted number one a year or so ago. There are also some not so good schools. So there is room in our educational system, I think, for both St. Louis Public Schools and for charter schools and, frankly, for parochial schools, which have done a great job of educating a lot of kids over, you know, the decades in the city of St. Louis. So, yeah, I continue to support charter schools as a choice. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the state just this week or last week approved a charter school for all districts in the state. I think the House approved that.
Yeah.
I don't know that if that's made it through the Senate yet.
I don't think it has.
It's being talked about.
We have a couple of kind of scattershot subjects here. We've had some emails and tweets and what have you. We have from Jeff. I read in the St. Louis American that Jeff Rainford was a consultant on your campaign. Please tell me, A, is that true? Of course, he was the chief of staff for Maurice Lay. Is that true? Why would you have anything to do with him? If it is, and C, will he have any role in your administration?
Jeff Rainford has not worked on my campaign, not one lick, and he won't have a role in my administration. I worked with Jeff when he was the chief of staff for Mayor Slay, and I was the alderman of the 28th Ward. You know, he's been gone there a couple of years, maybe now.
Yeah.
So I know Jeff, of course. But no, he does not have any role on my campaign.
Ms. Krusen comment on the recent Post-Dispatch article regarding socioeconomic discrepancies in security camera placement around the city and provide a practical and concrete action she can take as mayor to correct this?
Mm-hmm. I think that was in Sunday's paper, and it was a good article. The Central West End and the 28th Ward does have quite a few security cameras, which have been paid for by the taxpayers of the 28th Ward. I don't happen to think that's a great model. It was the only model and the only way to get there for the Central West End. The Loop has cameras. But I think that what we need is a citywide camera plan, just like we need a citywide plan, development plan, but we do need a citywide camera plan. There are, if you look closely at that map, there are many more cameras in the Central Quarter and in North St. Louis than there are in South St. Louis. You know, cameras are one of those things that they're a controversial subject. I happen to believe that they're a good tool. They don't replace police officers. They don't replace, you know, good folks out walking their dog with their eyes and ears on the street. Those are still the most important things. But cameras are an important tool, and they ought to be more widely available. There's a structural issue with cameras, and it has to do with where is fiber. You know, the best way to hook a camera up to the real-time crime center is through fiber. The next way you do it is through a wireless connection, you know, through Charter most of them in the Central West End are hooked up through Charter, which is an expensive ongoing proposition. But this technology is continuing to evolve and get better, and we need to do more of it.
That kind of brings us back to the crime situation again. And I'm just wondering, do you think that this recent fatal shooting at the Metrolink stop is going to have an impact on the proposition on the ballot in April?
You know, I don't know if it will or not. I will just comment on that shooting at the downtown Busch Stadium stop. I mean, it started in Illinois, and, you know, I frankly, and Metro knows that I think this, so this won't be news to them, I think Metro should have a turnstile system. I think that is a tool. I know that it costs money. But I think, you know, that would be a tool to having a more secure Metro system. And we should expand Metro, but we also have to do more for security on Metro. And the City Police Department, County Police Department, we have to come together and figure out how to have a more secure Metro system. And I think, I observe, I should say, that a lot of the issues are at stations where you have basic infrastructure problems, you know. And there are three Metrolink stops in the 28th Ward, the Del Mar Station, the Forest Park to Bolivar Station, and the Skinker Station. And the Skinker Station has very few problems. It's an underground station, so it's in a confined environment. Del Mar and the Bolivar / Forest Park Station continue to have some issues, mostly at the street level. And so I think we ought to say we had a problem here on Metrolink, and let's figure out what steps we need to take to fix that. And if turnstiles is something that we all agree on, we ought to figure out how to get them funded. Or if we can't figure it out, we ought to say, you know what, we can't afford it. I'm not there yet, but
In 30 seconds, what are the principal differences between you and Mr. Jones?
Oh, goodness. 30 seconds on that one. Well, first of all, my policies are much more progressive than Mr. Jones. And, you know, my dealings with him have been at these forums. So much more progressive policies. And, frankly, a lot more experience in actually getting things done. You know, I have a history of actually being able to get things done and execute on decisions. You probably know I was the sponsor of the smoking ban, of the prescription drug monitoring program. You know, I've got a long history of fighting for common sense gun laws. So I think there are many differences.
Well, Mr. Jones, the Republican candidate for mayor, will be on a program soon.
Okay. Well, good.
Thank you, Lyda Crewson, so much for being with
Don.
Us. Good luck to you on April 4th.
Really appreciate you. Love to have your vote on April the 4th for all your listeners.
I'm still weighing my vote, Lyda Crewson.
Okay. Well, you have to say that. You're a reporter.
Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.